Now in chapter 9, we come here to a section where God appears now to Solomon the second time, and he does it to encourage his heart. And we notice something very interesting here. I'm begin reading now verse 1 of chapter 9 of 1 Kings. Came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, to put my name there forever. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Now God is saying to him here, Solomon, here's where I'll meet with you, here at the temple. This is the place for you to come, for the people to come. This is the place for the world to come. This was the meeting place in that day, just as the Lord Jesus today is the approach to God. In that day, the temple, and that temple speaks of him, of course. Now, he mentions again something else. Verse 4, and if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked. Now, that's a human standard, and it's not a high standard. Well, it is a high standard in the sense David had a tremendous capacity for God and a love for God, and he failed, he fumbled and faltered, and he fell. But he got up, and he came to God in confession, and he wanted a fellowship with God. And therefore, if you'll walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart, that's so important today. There's so much subterfuge in worship. And friends, there's a great deal of hypocrisy today in the church. I spoke at a banquet some time ago where there was over 1,000 people present. One of the officials, one of the politicians of that area was present. Oh, he got up. You think he's the most pious fellow in the crowd. And you know, he left before the message. You know why? He didn't want to hear it. He's not interested in God's word. There's so much of that today. You tell the Lord the facts, friends, and you better tell him the facts, because he already knows all about you anyway. David walked before God in integrity of heart. Sure, he fell. But he's the one that confessed it, and he's the one that asked for cleansing. His faith failed for a moment, but beneath that faith that failed, there was a faith that never failed. And he walked before God in integrity of heart and in uprightness. David was honest in his integrity to God. May I say this, and I say it kindly, and I say it after an experience of about 40 years in the ministry, friends. I think there's more dishonest in church service today. And I mean by on Sunday morning, there's more dishonesty and hypocrisy that's revealed there. Here comes a man out of the business world. And I want to tell you, he's been careless in his life, and he comes out of a home where he's not setting an example. He walks into church with a Bible under his arm, and he talks about God and the will of God and uses all sorts of pious expressions. Who is he tempting to fool? God? Of course you're not fooling him. Why not just tell him as David did? Just tell him how the cow ate the cabbage. Tell him the facts about yourself. He walked before God in uprightness to do according all that I've commanded thee and will keep my statutes, my judgment. I says here, when David failed, he made confession. Then I'll establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man from the throne of Israel. And never has. There's one today that nail-pierced hands hold a scepter of this universe today. Verse 6, but if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye are your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And that's what they are today, if you please. That has come to pass literally. Now, he says furthermore, And at this house, which is high, everyone that passeth by shall be astonished, shall hiss. They shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? You go look at that spot today. The temple has been raised in the Mosque of Omar is there. Verse 9, and they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God. Why is that land as it is today? Why is the Mosque of Omar there? Because they forsook God, friends. That's the answer. Who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. Then we're told here that Solomon had a little difficulty with Hiram. I don't think Solomon and Hiram hit it off as David and Hiram had. Now notice what we're told here in verse 11. Now Hiram, the king of Tyre, had furnished Solomon with cedar trees and fir trees and with gold, according to all his desire. That then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they pleased him not. He felt like that he hadn't been given full payment, you see. Actually, there was a misunderstanding, and this is a thing that caused a breach between these two men. Verse 13, he said, what cities are these which thou hast given me, my brother? And he called the land Cable unto this day, and Hiram sent to the king 64 talents of gold. And this is the reason of the levy which King Solomon raised for to build the house. For Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had gone up and taken Gezer and burned it with fire and slain the Canaanites that dwelt in the city and given it for a present unto his daughter, Solomon's wife. And Solomon built Gezer and Beth Horon the Nether. And we are told here that there is this extension of the kingdom. We are told that Solomon began now to levy a tribute in order to pay for the temple. And we are told here, verse 26, King Solomon made a navy of ships, and Hiram sent in the navy his servants, shipmen that had knowledge of the sea with the servants of Solomon. They came to Ophir and fetched from thence gold, 420 talents, and brought it to King Solomon. Now, Solomon just about cornered the gold market of that day.